KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
D7.
Under the new regulations passed in 2008, the government may easily be listening and could retain and disseminate the results of these conversations.
I woke up in the middle of the night to hear her sister screaming my name.
Every time you see something unbelievable come up on Twitter, Instagram, you just have to look and second guess yourself.
Today on Weekday on KUOW Seattle, we're going to go to a Halloween party. We're also going to find out about some of the fake pictures that have been emerging from the story of Hurricane Sandy. But we start in Asbury Park, which is about 20 miles south of New York City on the Atlantic coast, right where Hurricane Sandy made landfall. Paul D'Ambrosio is the director of news and investigations with the Asbury Park Press. Paul D'Ambrosio, thanks for talking to us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks.
Thank you. We wanted just to get a sense of how life was today. On the headline on your webpage is where you can get gasoline. So I guess that's something people are already trying to figure out.
That's right. We had tremendous damage here at the Jersey Shore. As your listeners know, a lot of towns were inundated with sand and water. And what we're finding now is we're running low on supplies. Just now, there's about 18 gas stations open for business in 1,000 square miles of our area here. So you can see the demand for gasoline is increasing because a lot of people are running their homes on generators, but they're only good for like maybe one can will run it for maybe like 2 or 3 days and you have to refill. Plus cars, need gas for people to get to their businesses or check on other people around the area. So we're running into some shortage problems here right now.
How about the paper? Do you guys have a generator, or are you outside the area that's lost power?
No, we're right in the middle of the impact area. We're right here in Neptune, which is about 10 miles west of Asbury Park, which got hammered tremendously from the storm and tidal surge. We were not affected by the wind or rain or tides, and we're even though the power's out all around us, we have backup generators, so we're able to keep the web going and put a newspaper out every day to keep people informed.
And how about for yourself in terms of your own house? What happened there?
Well, one of my big trees fell down in the front yard, and we lost all power. We've had no power since Monday afternoon. My 92-year-old father and 87-year-old mother are with us. We're running on one generator to keep the refrigerator going, but we have no heat and no water because we're on well water. So we're taking it day by day, and we're just trying to adjust as and hope the lights come back on very soon.
Paul D'Ambrosio is Director of News and Investigations at the Asbury Park Press. Their website is up and running, app.com. You want to read some of the stories that they're putting up. When we look at the pictures on your website of the shore, it looks completely devastated. Describe what the shoreline looks like in some of those marinas particularly.
Shoreline looks like if you were a kid on the beach building a sandcastle and a wave came and knocked it over. That's pretty much what all the shore towns look like. They are covered with sand that may be feet deep. A lot of houses were knocked off their foundation and tossed around like toys in the water. Gas lines ruptured, setting fire to several houses in Manaloking. And the Bayshore towns, which is our low-lying area on the bay side of Monmouth County, one town was 70% underwater. We haven't had been able, even first responders have not been able to get to the barrier towns because of the destruction to the roadways and the obstacles there. So they're trying to make it into today. What we're doing this afternoon, we're taking a helicopter up and we're going to be scanning the entire coastline so our viewers on the website can actually see what happened to their house. So we'll start at one end of the county, go all the way up to the other end of the county, and just keep on the video rolling. And from there, people can see exactly what the damage has been done to their property.
What have you heard from the places you have gotten to? I mean, this damage sounds like, I mean, from the looks of it, people's houses were knocked down, swept away. I mean, how devastating do you suppose it is?
Devastation is too weak of a word for what we have here. We had houses blow into the bay and then strike bridges. We've had boats end up on top of houses in Beach Haven. It's just a tremendous amount of damage that it's hard to comprehend because it's such a wide area. We have about 110 miles of coastline in our area alone, and there's 127 miles of coastline in Jersey Shore. Every single town was impacted by that, and every single town is looking at probably $1 million worth of damages, and probably in New Jersey alone, you're looking at billions and billions of dollars of damages. And even if it can be rebuilt, it may take years to get it back to where we are now. Right now, what we're trying to do, the utility companies are trying to get basic services back. They're trying to restore power, trying to restore water, but they say here in our area, a lot of areas may not have power for the next 10 days.
Dr. Paul D'Ambrosio with the Asbury Park Press. Did people stay in their houses along the shore, or did they evacuate?
No, we believe everyone evacuated. We haven't heard any loss of life reports yet. There is no high water rescues that we've heard of. So I think everyone heeded the warnings about the superstorm coming in and evacuated the barrier islands.
What's security like there? National Guard has been called out. Have they had to quell any disturbances?
In the Bayshore area, there's been some looting in Keensburg that the local police are trying to, tamp down. But because no one can get to the barrier islands, I don't believe there's any way anyone can loot it.
Yeah, well, there's some silver lining in that, I imagine. And for the rest of the state, in terms of those long lines at gas, people are remaining relatively calm.
We've had pretty good order here. I drove by a couple gas lines last night and this morning, and some were like 1 to 2 miles long, and everyone's orderly and patient. We haven't heard of any fist fights or other types of incidences. In fact, the one thing that we did hear about today is just a car strike in an armored van that was going to, as part of the rescue effort. So people are getting back on the road, but they have to be mindful. A lot of traffic lights here are out. And people sometimes forget that and try to cross a major intersection without stopping, and they may get T-boned because of that.
President Obama is visiting New Jersey today, and he'll be with Governor Chris Christie. They're not pals. What do you suppose Chris Christie wants from the federal government?
Well, if you take Chris Christie at his word, he feels this is transcendent politics. This is a nation helping a state. President Obama was there to offer support, and Christie appreciated that. Even though Christie's Republican and Obama's a Democrat, I think both of them have said that this is not political. It's about helping people, and Christie wants to get as much support as he can to help the residents of our state.
And what does it look like this is going to cost in the end? I know you've heard some estimates you talked about a little bit, but for your area, it's going to be millions. It could be billions for the state.
Let me give perspective. For all the property along the shore in our area, not just two counties, it totals up to $55 billion. If just 2% of those houses were destroyed, that would be $1.1 billion worth of damage. And we believe more than 2% have been destroyed. So if you're at 10% of destruction, that's $5 billion right there just on property loss alone, not counting losses from business or government buildings or anything else. So it's an incredible amount of money, and I don't think the scope will be known for probably weeks or months.
You got some hard days ahead, but people have pulled together, your family's together, so you guys feel like you're going to weather it okay.
Yeah, we're adjusting, and I think we are seeing some services come back slowly. Some areas do have power coming back. As long as there's some sign that life is returning to normal, I believe people will be patient and understanding about what's going on and adjust accordingly.
All right, sir. I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Paul D'Ambrosio is Director of News and Investigations with the Asbury Park Press. Their website is up and running, and there are lots of pictures and lots of stories about what's happening there at app.com. You're listening to Weekday. I'm Steve Scherr. As the eastern seaboard grappled with Hurricane Sandy and its aftermath, the story is largely being told through online photographs. Even before the storm, Instagram CEO Kevin Systrom said there were 10 Sandy pictures per second being posted to his photo-sharing website. Some of the most arresting photos came from citizens snapping cell phone shots of their surroundings. But it turns out, shock of shocks, not every photo is real. Rebecca Greenfield writes at the Atlantic Wire. She is staff writer at the Atlantic Wire. She's been thinking about fake photos. She wrote a post, "Before you retweet, how to spot a fake storm photo." Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How are you spotting fake storm photos?
Well, every time you see something unbelievable come up on Twitter, Instagram, you just have to look and second guess yourself because there's so much fake stuff around.
I saw a picture from a guy's porch. There was a small dogfish shark swimming around at below his porch. Don't tell me that was fake.
I think I know what you're talking about, and that one is fake. I mean, there are ones that people Photoshop ridiculous things into, like, to be joking around, like Pillsbury Doughboys. Otherwise, sometimes it's hard to tell. I mean, I just generally, if it's so incredible, I try hard to look and verify to see where it came from, if it's from a reporter, if anybody else has taken a picture from a different angle, if an official site has tweeted it out, it's helpful, but it's hard to tell.
What about the image of the Statue of Liberty looking like it's about to be, well, you wrote, about to get apocalypse now'd?
That was fake. I guess it could look real, but if you think about the weather on the day of the storm, it doesn't at all match how the weather in New York was that day. It wasn't like a sudden storm came. It was a buildup. You just have to think that this is photoshopped, and it is, you know, it is a photoshop from a different storm and a different in Nebraska from a tornado.
Oh, that is an actual tornado, though, that somebody did actually photograph that was real?
So the clouds above the Statue of Liberty in the photo are from a storm in Nebraska, yes.
Well, at least it was somewhat real. I mean, some of the things that you write about are screen grabs from films that people are purporting to say is real, like this large wave that's hitting the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that was another one that was, it would have been an interesting story if it were real, but it's not. It's from The Day After Tomorrow, which is a science fiction movie about the consequences of climate change. So, I mean, it's possible that that scene could have happened, but it's not from, you know, that's a pretty huge wave from a movie.
How many fake pictures have been coming to your attention these last couple of days, or especially since you wrote this posting on the Atlantic Wire?
So I wrote up about, I think, four, and then so far there have definitely been, I'd say, half a dozen more at least that have come across my screen today. I saw something that was actually, I'm pretty sure, ended up being real, but I had to double-check a bunch of times a picture from the Jersey Shore that had the entire roller coaster from one of the boardwalks just completely in the water. And it looked so unbelievable to me, I thought maybe this was fake. It ended up being real.
How did you vet that?
I found the original source, which was a reporter who'd been taking pictures down at the Jersey Shore. And then I also saw another picture from a different angle, So it seemed, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's real.
What harm does it do to have all these fake pictures?
I mean, it gives a wrong idea of what things are actually like out there. There are devastating photos of the storm that just don't look like this. And, you know, having the wrong idea of what's going on, just having false information around isn't helping the situation. It's not informing anybody.
It's also kind of undermining the work of photojournalists, isn't it?
Yeah, photojournalists are bringing the real stories of what's happening in a pretty incredible way. I mean, it's great to have photos from people on the ground, and a lot of those people are just regular people using their iPhones. So it's just hard to parse that.
Rebecca Greenfield is a staff writer at the Atlantic Wire. She's been looking at fake storm photos that have come out of Hurricane Sandy. This is Weekday.
It's 9:20. This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. I'm Andy Hurst. You are what you eat, and what you eat ends up in your hair. Scientists in the U.S. and Europe are now using this basic idea to devise a sort of hair-based GPS tracking system that can reveal where you've been over the past few months. Law enforcement agencies are now using this technique to solve crimes. We'll find out more this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Support for KUOW comes from Walker's Renton Subaru, where Pacific Northwest adventures begin. New and used vehicle inventory and information online at RentonSubaru.com or at Exit 2 off 405 in Renton. Subaru. Think. Feel. Drive.
You count on KUOW, and KUOW counts on you. It's a partnership. This is Renee Montaigne, host of Morning Edition from NPR News. Thank you to everyone who has made a financial contribution to KUOW. Because of members like you, we're able to bring you the quality news, information, and cultural programming you've come to expect. So from everyone at NPR and KUOW, thank you.
Clouds and showers and 55 degrees in Seattle, expecting a high today of 58. Clouds and rain expected all afternoon. Same for tonight and tomorrow. Clouds and showers expected. The low tonight, 51. The high tomorrow, 57.
Thank you, Philip. Philip, back into the cage now. Thank you. How do you like my costume? Kind of a cross between the Joker and the Biggest Loser. What do you think? Nice, huh? And I thought the colors were very nice as well. I think a little blue and pink along with the darker colors are nice. What are you bringing to our party? I hope you're bringing a fine costume to describe. Perhaps a story. We'd especially like some good ghost stories. All these people here, they're waiting for some scary stories. And this year, I think you probably have some scary stories to tell, do you not? Also, perhaps you're bringing some of the fine Halloween foods that are always important. The bowl of peeled grapes. Yes. What are you bringing to our party? We want you to come. You're all invited. Costumes, food, stories. A trick? That would be very good, too. 206-543-5869. 1-800-289-5869. This is going to be an interesting Halloween, I think. A lot of people will be out there, not just ringing doorbells for tricks and treats, but for politics as well. So what will you be bringing? What will you be wearing? What's your plans this Halloween? By the way, I'm going to be speaking like this the entire hour. We have some guests as well, some folks who will be dropping by.
Hey, Steve, what's up? I want to thank you for inviting me to your Halloween party. I mean, you like my costume?
Oh, Ron
I'm
Sims.
I'm the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. I know. The Ghostbusters overuse me, but hey, I've always been kind of a marshmallow, so to speak. You know, kind of big, kind of nice. But anyway, hold a second. You are letting Tim Eimann here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're letting Tim Eimann in here?
Everybody,
I mean,
welcome.
What's he going to be? I mean, like, it is just a costume of Tim. No wonder. Yeah, that's enough to scare anybody. But anyway, I've come here. I want to dance, and obviously I want to eat. I want to eat lots of food. I mean, you know, marshmallows, think about that. They're good with anything. I mean, yams cooked with marshmallows, yam pie with marshmallows.
People be plucking things off
you, Ron. I'm here to sweeten this event. I want you to have a great time. I want people to eat as much as they can. I want lots of calories, lots of sugar. I mean, that's what the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man stands for. Just eat and eat and eat to your heart's delight. Enjoy the music and enjoy Halloween.
Yeah, get in
Thanks
there
for
and
inviting me.
Get in there and dance and party a little bit there, Ron. Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man Ron Sims. Look, people are already running up to him and plucking little bits of marshmallow off him. That's good. We want you to come to our party. Oh, who's this? Professor Fred Hopkins. Good to see you, Professor Fred.
Did you hear the story about the two penguins that came up? Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
You're looking great. I'm discombobulatedly delighted to be here. And I am dressed up as one of the characters from one of my favorite atrocious B-movies, The Creature from the Haunted Sea. And I am dressed up as the Barf Monster, which is made with ping pong balls, shoe boxes, and paper mache.
Oh, is that what
And
that is?
I come walking out of the sea, scaring people, but I'm totally discombobulated and unconvincing and not frightening at all. And it looks like dogs barfed all over me. I was made in about 3 days, and
I'm shocked
that's what I am.
I could continue
talking forever and ever, but
no.
I see an old friend of mine up there dressed as Bela Lugosi from Bride of the Monster fighting a non-moving, inanimate, plastic octopus.
Yeah, get in there.
And I need to talk to him, and I need to talk to the octopus as well. So, Steve, great talking with you. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Yeah, and, you know, watch out for the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, because I think your shoeboxes and the marshmallows might kind of get in trouble there. All right, what are you doing? Are you coming to our party? We'd like to hear from you. I don't know, who's this? Aha, Susie in Bellingham. Now, is that a costume or you just have a story for us, Susie?
I wanted to tell you a real, actual ghost story from my childhood.
Excellent.
My only supernatural experience so far.
Excellent. Let's hear it. And, you know, come in while you're telling that story.
It is raining here in Bellingham, so I should come in. I grew up in central Pennsylvania, and we had a lot of old Victorian homes around. And, you know, a lot of people's families said, oh, our attic is haunted or this or that. But my best friend lived in this one home in a town called Coburn, and she always was telling me stories about finding rusty bobby pins and stuff in the attic. And they would clean them all up, and then later they would find more. That was kind of fishy, but one night I was spending the night at her house, and she and her sister shared the top of the third floor as their bedroom. And I woke up in the middle of the night to hear her sister screaming my name, and my chest felt really tight. It was like somebody had set like a full garbage can, like something really heavy was on my chest, and I couldn't breathe very well. And her sister was screaming, "Susie, Susie, there's somebody on top of you." And I couldn't.
What?
This is real stuff. I couldn't see anything, but I felt this like really heavy weight on my chest. And her sister Amanda was screaming, "There's somebody on top of you." Yeah. And we went and crawled in bed with her mom. And about 2 months later, that floor of their house actually caught on fire. And my friend was in the house at the time, but a neighbor saw smoke coming out of the third floor and, you know, came in and got her out and everything, and they moved to Florida after that. Yep.
Whoa, that is spooky. And they moved to Florida, and did you?
As far away from the house as they could.
Yeah. All right, yeah. That is a story worthy of coming into our party and mixing it up with our mixed nuts in there, Susie.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate that. So come into the party. Susie in Bellingham, she's joining us now in our party. Are you joining us for our party? 1-800-289-5869. We want you to come to the party with your Halloween traditions, your ghost stories, your best costume of this year. There are a lot of good themes you can have for a year like this. 206-543-5869. The line out the door is open. We're waiting to hear from you. Ah, who's this? Ah, Steve, coming from downtown. Steve, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
What? Oh, you got a dish for us?
Yeah, I do. A roasted butternut squash gnocchi.
It's every Halloween you do that?
Yeah, on Halloween.
Nice.
And the reason being is because it's not only is it delicious, it's also quite colorful. Well, here's what's in it. We do, of course, we roast the butternut squash in the oven, and I also roast some whole garlic cloves with that. And then I have rendered pancetta, which is an Italian-style bacon that we cube up. I do shallots, fresh thyme, black trumpet mushrooms, which are quite delicious as well as beautiful. Then I dice up some, usually cherry tomatoes, do a little chicken stock, some olive oil, finish it with some whole butter, and sprinkle a little chopped parsley.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It really is. They're quite delicious and very spooky on the plate, you know what I mean? Because you got a lot of mixed flavors. But
are you going to another party with that dish after this party?
I hope so.
Yeah, well, you know, bring that dish in as well, because I know a lot of folks are going to want to be tasting that. Excuse me. It's part of our party trick. We're having our Halloween party for weekday. I'm Steve Scher. I know you like my costume. I know I changed it a little bit. I thought I wasn't really making it with the Joker. So it looks a little better now, don't you think, with that Batman cape and the Superman shirt? I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. All right, who's that? Oh, Robert Horton, film critic. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Great to be here. Hey, nice costume.
Thank you.
By the way, you got a little food on your chin there.
Yeah, lamb,
so,
I think.
No big deal. Okay, that's better. Who am I, you ask? I am actually in costume as the actor Robert Horton, the star of Wagon Train and the classic Japanese monster movie The Green Slime.
I remember him.
No, I realize I don't. It's not really much of a costume I have. It's more of a conceptual thing.
It's good.
You know, he's Robert Horton. I'm Robert Horton.
I like it.
Yeah, I brought a jack-o'-lantern. Do you recognize whose face is carved in it?
Jack Nicholson.
It's KOW's Steve Scher. What's wrong, Steve? Is that too weird?
It is kinda scary.
Kind of soccerish.
It's kind of freaky.
Hey, is that Fred Hopkins over there? Looks like
yeah.
He's had a few too many apple teenies. No surprise, right? I have to go see if he's got my DVD of the director's cut of Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory. I'll see you later.
Watch out for the shoeboxes as well, Robert. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming. All right, who else is coming to this party? Tell us a story. We want you to come in. Ah, Robin, down from Mount Vernon. Good to see you.
Hi.
Now, Robin, you look a little scared right now, Robin. You got a story?
Two of the most important people in my life who have ever died talked to me. My Grandpa Jackson came the night before we found out he died, and my dad called me 2 days after he died.
On the phone?
On the phone. Now, technically, it was in a dream, but when I was 9, I woke up. In the middle of the night, my Grandpa Jackson was sitting on the end of my bed. He told me to be a good girl and that he loved me. And the next afternoon, my mom told me that he died in the night. And when I was 26, 2 days after my dad died, and I walked into the kitchen of my house in my dream, and there were people in the kitchen. And I thought to myself, even when I'm dreaming, I can't get away from all these people. And the phone rang, and my dad said, hi there. And my whole body, you know how your whole body, your cells will just start moving? All the atoms start filling in, the bumping against each other in all the empty spaces, and your whole body goes, whoa. And I said, hi, Daddy. And he just said he wanted to check and make sure we were okay. And I said, we missed you and we're crying, but we'll be okay.
All right. Well, Robin, I want you to come into the party. I know there's some folks who are going to want to hear that story. And I recommend you start with Fred Hopkins and Robert Horton over there.
Okay.
Robert Horton's the guy who's just like Robert Horton from Wagon Train. I think you'll recognize him.
Okay. Is that him in the corner?
Yeah, it's him in the corner. And get some of those roasted butternut squash gnocchi as well. They're very good and a little bit frightening. Thanks for coming. Who's this? Oh, my goodness. Speaking of people coming back from beyond the grave, Boris Karloff? No, not Boris Karloff. Pat in Brattleboro. Oh, it is Boris Karloff. I can't tell who it is, Pat or is it Boris Karloff? There's so many people crowding the door right now. Yes, I think it is Pat in Brattleboro, Vermont, isn't it? Pat, you looked a little bit like Boris Karloff for a moment there.
Well, thank you very much. What a compliment.
Pat, you got a ghost story for us?
I do.
You know, that's a long trip you took to get here, by the way. I appreciate you coming so quick.
Yes, I know. I took a jet. Well, actually, it was my broom. Oh, God. I used to live in Seattle and worked at a restaurant, Drew Belante, in Renton, Washington. And it was, it used to be an old automobile showroom and repair shop. And it was converted into a wine bar and a bakery and a restaurant. And I worked there. And also, Martin, our bar manager, worked there. It was late one Halloween Eve. He had closed. And he saw this man in work coveralls in the back. And he thought he was in costume. So I said, hey, you know, we're closed. What are you still doing there? And so the guy didn't say anything, and he was holding a wrench. So then Martin got a little scared and thought, oh my God, we're going to get robbed. And so he slowly started talking to him, and he slowly walked back, and the guy slowly walked toward him. And then Martin just met him kind of face to face, and he disappeared. Martin swears he wasn't drinking.
I'm sure he does swear that. Wow.
Actually, I believe him. So I was the baker in there many a night, and it was kind of spooky.
Wow. All right, that's a great story. Come in and tell that story to some of our guests, okay? All right. And look. So there, as I told you, Pat, there behind you was Boris Karloff and Peter Lorre back from the grave. What are you guys doing here?
I'm here in answer to a call for a horror man. I'm responsible for some very weird things.
Yeah, you are.
My eyes are hollow caverns. My skin is pasty white. I sway lifelessly.
You have just 5 seconds to say your prayers.
Lorre, chill.
No, you have a very interesting head. There's an experiment I've been dying to try. I could really scare people again if I had 2 heads.
This thing has to be done exactly as planned.
I like you. I would do the last thing on earth for you. Let me examine the ligaments of your neck. Remember, you haven't lived until you've died.
All right, look, you guys, just go in and go find the bathroom if you're going to be doing some operations and clean up after yourselves. It's good to know you guys are still walking around all these years later. Boris Karloff and Peter Lorre. All right. We're going to wander around our party a little bit. If you haven't come to our party yet, come on to our Halloween party. Bring some food. Bring a story. 206-543-5869. 1-800-289-5869.
So you guys don't have an inkling of what you're about to see if we go in there.
No.
But it's a privileged area.
Is this the thing about which we spoke?
Oh. There was something on the faces. Oh,
holy moly.
They fill the eye sockets.
Oh, my God. There's like a...
They puff out the lips.
Oh, man. On the next radio lab.
A large, ugly growth.
Tumors.
Famous tumors on the next radio lab.
And the next radio lab is Friday night at 7 o'clock. This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. Good morning, it's 9:38.
Support for KUOW comes from the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley and its evening and weekend MBA program, offering a Saturday option for working professionals from outside the Bay Area who can earn a Berkeley MBA while working full-time. Information session on November 7th at the Renaissance Seattle Hotel.
Join KUOW and Seattle Shakespeare Company for Antony and Cleopatra, Shakespeare's epic romance where power, politics, and passion collide, November 1st through the 18th. For more information, visit our events page at KUOW.org.
We have clouds and showers, 55 degrees right now in the U District. We're expecting clouds and rain the rest of today. The high getting up to 58. It's going to be cloudy and rainy tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's low 51, tomorrow's high reaching 57.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. I was just drinking a little bit of my blood punch. I'm glad you're here at our Halloween party. had a wonderful, wonderful parade of guests. I do hope that we see Peter Lorre and Boris Karloff again. But what about you? Are you coming to our Halloween party in your costume? Are you bringing that lovely dish of grapes or maybe something that would feel like tumors in the dark? Ugh. Our number's 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. We want to hear from you. Who's this? Storm from Bellevue. Storm, is that your name or your costume?
No, that's my name.
And you are dressed as Storm from X-Men? No. What are you dressed as?
I'm dressed as steampunk, but I'm calling to tell you about my husband of almost 1 year now and bringing him in his costume, because bringing him is like bringing a costume and a dish all in one.
Why? Is your husband edible?
Parts of him are.
Which parts?
His chest. He's an ear of corn.
An ear of corn and real corn?
Yes. No, it's not real corn. It's made from marshmallows.
Also, he and Ron Sims are going to be duking it out later for best marshmallow in a costume.
Oh, I think my husband will absolutely win. I wish I could just have him right there for you to start sampling him right now.
Do you paint the corn so that it looks like a yellow kernel of corn?
I'll tell you, I had to go to a professional for help on what to do with this corn because we came up with so many ideas, but came out, all you do is take a sponge food coloring and dab those little marshmallows, and then you stick gummy bears on the end, yellow ones, of course, to hold them on the toothpicks, and you try not to impale the corn cob with the toothpick.
I imagine you do. And then people, as he wanders the party, people will be able to munch on him.
Oh, yes, and we have pictures of, this is his second time wearing it, third time. We have pictures of people doing just that.
And after our party, this sounds like it might have to be a fairly elaborate costume, so are you going somewhere else?
Oh, we're just going to hang out at your party. Like I said, this is the third time we've had to dress him in this, and he's done with his green felt snuggie after today.
All right. All right, well, Storm, come in. Enjoy that. Make sure you get up next to the guy who's dressed as the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk so you guys could, you know, swap vegetable recipes. I appreciate.
All right, we'll do that.
I appreciate you coming to our party. Are you coming to our party? Do you have a story, a Halloween story you might want to share for our party? Because this time of year, just before the election, there are lots of scary things happening out in the world. Some people are feeling it. And so maybe you have a story for Halloween to help us be in the mood. 206-543-5869 is our number. We got some lines open for you. 1-800-289-5869. And look, if you can't get to our party, you can always send a missive by owl, and we shall read that at weekday@kuow.org. But really, we'd like you to come to our party because, you know, we want to fill this place up. Excellent. Who's here? Greg in Seattle. Greg, you dressed up as a ghost, are you?
Oh, boy. I am today. But it's a simple ghost. Just a sheet over my head with a rope around my neck and a couple holes for eyes.
That rope is a nice touch.
It was easy, but it foretells something that could happen this evening. If you want to play a slight prank on somebody, it happened to me years ago in Anchorage. I was going to a party with a friend, and we only knew a few people there, and we were both dressed as ghosts, the simple sheet, the rope around the neck. And we went in, and we chose not to talk to anybody. And we spent the party that way, and people would wonder who we were and ask us, and we would just look at each other. And increasingly, it became a little disconcerting for the partygoers, and they would pry, and, "Who are you? Who is he? Who is they?" And we would just look at each other and kind of calmly avoid their questions. And as the party progressed and people got a little bit more liquored, they got a little frightened and freaked out. And, well, it became so bad that people were now getting angry. And who is this? Who's behind that? Who is it? And we got really concerned. And in the end, actually, they wanted to rip it off our heads. We had these ropes tied around our neck. We were afraid we could get strangled. We ran out of the house, and people were chasing us down the street as we're running down to find our car. And it was the most frightening thing I had experienced, as well, I think, the partygoers.
Wow. Trick or treat, huh?
Trick or treat.
All right, come into the party and do that same thing and see what happens at this party.
Take care.
Into the party with you. Yes, how about that? Now, what kind of scary things have you done? We would like to know. Our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. What scary things are you getting ready to do at our party? Wander around with us. We'd like to hear from you. Ah, another of our partygoers. Now, who is this? Maureen from Bellingham. That is an amazing costume, Maureen.
Hi.
Thanks for coming to our party. I think you might win best costume.
We did. My husband and I, we went one year dressed as a pair of dice. And it wasn't scary. Maybe to the small children we were scary. But at the party, people would bet. We would roll around and people would bet our numbers. And our heads were the snake eyes. And actually, as the party progressed and people began to have their little cocktails, we then became end tables, sitting end tables.
Were you in a box, or were you just...
Yes, it was a box, and I created dice.
and your heads were the snake eyes.
Fairly, you know, we're not the same height, so he was a little taller guy than me, but what a fun Halloween.
That sounds great.
When I grew up back east, and on Halloween Eve, All Hallows Eve, we would go out and soap windows and throw eggs. And I know you don't do that anymore.
No.
But that's my memories.
That's very nice. No, we don't do that anymore. We're all just good little boys and girls collecting candy. All right. Please. Go in there and people will roll you a bit.
That's exactly right. We made some bets.
People will roll you. All right, that's great. I'm glad you came here to our party. We're getting you to come to our party, but you know what? I gotta step outside for just a moment here and go out to the shed.
We're gonna make some of our own scary sound effects.
Well, this is a good room for doing this in because I love all the skeletons hanging on the wall, and I'm really surprised you manacled that aardvark to the side of the place and let it dry out and desiccate. That was kind of scary.
He was not pleased.
No, I imagine he wasn't. Anne, what do you got in your hand there?
I have a spear that's about to pierce my flesh, also known as an apple.
Okay, let's see how it sounds.
Yeah. Sounds like you're taking a bite of an apple.
Yeah, that sounded like an apple. Here, let me try some. You ready?
Okay. That was better.
Okay, so you need to be really aggressive with the apple biting.
I hurt my jaw.
Here, Anda's, try number two.
You're going to suffer for your art. Okay.
It still sounds like an apple. I'd say that's a loser one. Don't do that one.
All right.
That does not sound like a spear-piercing flesh.
Pretty good apple, though.
Steve, why don't you try human mutilation?
You have to come down here, though. Let me brush away the cobwebs in this. Boy, what did you do to this rat?
Well,
That's
he was bothering me. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm gonna bust up a bunch of human bones. You little. Okay, I got the head. Let me open that chest.
You're very strong. The way you busted that head apart was ridiculous. What was that? What did you do?
I ripped open the body of a cadaver we brought in from the grave and then tore it apart. Cabbage, celery, and carrots.
Now let's Should we do a little gore? We'll do a little gore here. We got some eggs. Here, you take the mic here. Supposedly, according to our instructions, we can make plenty of gore just using eggs and dipping rags and paper towels into them. So let's give it a try. That's egg number one.
We got some shell in there.
Pop the eye socket on that guy, will you, Ann?
Mix up the eggs. All right.
Now, what's supposed to happen here?
Supposedly, we can make it sound like gore and squidge, as they describe it, just by dipping rags and paper towels into the eggs and pulling them out again. So we'll see what that sounds like. I'm going to just fluff it. I'm gory, Steve.
What's it supposed to sound like?
It's supposed to sound like gore, general gore. So I suppose that could mean anything, really.
The egg's not, I say the egg's off the list.
All right. Eggs and apple are off the list, but so far the cabbage, that's a winner. This is going to be the, you know, this is what, the creme de la creme here. This is the best experiment we've got going today.
This is like the firework that you save for the end.
Yeah,
you know, everyone points to it and you say, no, we'll do that last.
This is the grand finale. We have one of the saddest looking roasted chickens I've ever seen in my entire life here. And according to our instructions, we're supposed to take this roasted chicken and stuff it with something. It says anything. So I brought these jalapeno chips that I've had in my desk drawer for at least 2 years. And I've decided I probably never am going to eat them at this point. So you want to help me stuff these inside the bird? That's me trying to stuff chips into our cavity. Okay, that looks good. Now, the general idea, according to our piece of paper...
According to the research you've done on the interwebs...
The research we've done into how to make our own gory sound effects. If I hit this roasted chicken with a sledgehammer, it will sound like bones crunching and breaking. Which I would argue the cabbage did as well, but this is far more exciting. You might want to step back.
No. Nothing.
Nothing? Not even when I'm hitting the bones?
Tear it apart. Tear the chicken apart with your hand.
It actually smells kind of good.
I'm even breaking bones. It's supposed to sound like bones.
How can breaking bones not sound like bones breaking?
You know what we're learning from this? Being your own Foley artist is really not that easy.
That was Katie Sewell and Ann Dornfeld and I out at that shed trying to come up with some good sound effects for you in case you've got some plans for your own party later in the evening. But I think maybe a raw chicken would be better. Just a raw chicken that you tear apart with that microphone right there. That might be nice. Nothing like taking a mallet to a chicken, though. That's a good Halloween event. Maybe you should have a bunch of chickens in your Halloween party and just let people pound on them with mallets. Whew, a little cold out there, a little drafty. It's I'm going to get back inside here and get a little warmer. And man, windy, and there's a leaf blower going. But it's a good thing my cape has some bear fur lining that I picked up when I tackled a bear and just tore him to bits by my bare hands. All right, who else is at our party here? Who's this? Wells. Wells is in Queen Anne. Wells, thanks for coming to the party.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing today?
I am good. I'm a little chilly. I'm a little wet. I was a little disappointed in that roast chicken. We're going to do a raw chicken next time and tear it apart. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm having a good Halloween. But I've got a ghost story that I brought to the party, Steve.
Good. Let's hear it.
Okay. So this is one that a family friend of ours passed the story down when I lived on the East Coast, and her name is Janet. So Janice's family owned two houses, one in Danbury, Connecticut, and one in Watch Hill, North Carolina. And the one in Watch Hill was an old plantation house, and there was supposedly a ghost who haunted it, who was a woman from the 1800s. They never knew how she died or any real facts about her, other than she would only appear to Janice and one of her siblings. And Janice's sibling died, unfortunately, young. And so Janice was the only one that saw the ghosts when they went to the Watch Hill house. And years passed, and she hadn't been down to the Watch Hill house in many years. And she was asleep at her house in Danbury. And she felt a presence in her room, and she woke up and heard the phone ringing. And when she looked up, though, the ghost
from Washoe, North Carolina, was standing over her bed.
Whoa.
And she looked at the ghost, made eye contact, so to speak, if ghosts have eyes. And the ghost streamed down the hallway from the bedroom and stopped at the ringing phone in the hall. And Janice, of course, got up, followed the ghost to the phone that was still ringing. And as soon as she got close, the ghost disappeared. And when she answered the phone, it was the fire department in Watch Hill. And the house in Watch Hill had been struck by lightning and burned to the ground that night.
Oh, that is a good story. That's a good one. She told you that?
Yes, she told us this. She told this to me when I was about 10, and so it, of course, scared the bejesus out of me.
Of course. That's a good one. I like that ghosts are connected to phones in some ways, too.
Yeah. She never was able to explain how the ghost made it from North Carolina to Connecticut, but she always assumed that the ghost was coming to check on her and tell her everything was all right.
Oh, that's good. That's a good story. You got to share that story with some of the other folks in this party, okay?
All right, I will.
Well, thanks a lot. That was good. Let's let me wander around the party here a little bit, see who else is here. All right, Jeff in Woodinville. I'm glad you're at the party, Jeff. Put down that cup of grog and tell me a story, won't you? Jeff, you came all the way from Woodinville. I don't want you to not tell your story. Yeah, just put down that grog there, Jeff. No, Jeff's just going to keep drinking his grog. All right, let me turn around here. Let me see who else might be coming to the party with a story. All right, there we go. That's in the back door. Ed has come to the back door by way of Des Moines. Hello, Ed.
Hi there, Steve.
Thanks for coming.
I'm coming as a grandpa.
Good. Are you?
I am a grandpa. About 30 years ago, one of my our oldest granddaughter at that time, first granddaughter, had leukemia. She was diagnosed at age 5 and died at age 11. But when she was about 7, she was with Fred Hutch, and she could go about an hour away from there to be away for a weekend or whatever. And so her family picked her up. They lived over in Bremerton, and with the ferries being sometimes a little more than an hour, they were a little hesitant to stay there. So they came to our house. We lived in Tacoma at the time. And we had one of those old houses overlooking the bay, and it was trick-or-treat, and Jenica could not go out amongst the people. So what we did was each of our family members, and I have a son and another daughter, and then her mother and her father and my wife and I, each one got behind the door in the house and up and down the hall and downstairs and wherever there was a doorway into a room, even in one of the bathrooms, each of us got in there with a thing of candy. And Jenica came by and knocked on the door and said, trick or treat. And we dressed in our dumb costumes, jumped at her and gave her a treat. And she went for next door and down through the line. And she was a very happy little girl.
Oh, that's a great story. You kept the tradition alive for her.
Yeah.
That's a really nice story.
She died when she was 11, but she put up a good fight. And we were amazed at the wonderful service that we received at Fred Hutch. It was a great place.
Well, that's great.
I'm
sorry.
Time.
I'm sorry for your loss. A very hard time, but you kept it. You kept the tradition alive. I'm sure she. That just sounds like she would have loved that. Ed, thanks a lot. That's a good story. A good story to sort of wrap up our party here. But look, you guys stay at the party, huh? There's a lot of food. There's that pumpkin gnocchi. There's my blood grog. And there's the bowl of grapes and the tumor bowl as well. Stay with us.
And now, the sound of the day.
Thought that was part of the party. That's the sound of a cat looking through glass French doors, defending his territory from the visiting cat that's on the deck. Cats are always scary. Oh, cats are always scary when they sound like that. Weekday listener Mary says this is an almost daily occurrence. Every day is Halloween for Mary. Thanks, Mary. A lot of potential scary sounds out there and joyful sounds as well. Record the sounds of tonight, the sounds of your day. Send 30 seconds to us. You have that smart device. Send it to weekday@kuow.org. Sound of the day. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy our party. Stick around. There's more to come.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.